All right. Mr. Deegan, glad to see you've changed into something other than prison garb. I thought more about the motion and the video, and at least given what's before the court now, you know, the court's going to, you know, maintain its previous ruling. The defendant had access to all three videos since at least the third of this month. Could have had prior to then if he had asked and asked for the regional jail to make arrangements. And you know, while the state does have some obligation, I think that the defense also has obligation, especially in this case since he's representing himself, to at least ask about things and ask whether he can get things or have things. And so after all that, I just think that under all the circumstances that the defendant has had sufficient time, and unless, of course, he makes special, brings something specific to the court in terms of something, some type of prejudice. So my understanding is all the jury, or that the jury has been indoctrinated. My thought is, since I don't know whether any of these jurors know anything about this case, but that the first thing that we'll take up with them, even before we ask the basic qualification questions, is you know, whether any of them have heard anything about this case, and see if any of them have. Where we have 22 seats out.
Yes.
22. Okay. In that way, if any of these jurors have heard anything about this and cannot sit, then we can get them out and let them go and be on their way. Certainly, if we run out of jurors, then you know, that is a basis for perhaps granting the defendant's motion to change the venue. But all right. Let's have the jury.
Your Honor, can I take up one issue before we do that?
What?
Even if we get through voir dire and start hearing evidence today, the state would have one witness, and then the second witness, we would probably be playing at least around a two-hour video. So I don't see there's any way to get to the defendant's case. We have a number of troopers and home confinement officer Joy. I was wondering if there's any way we could release him as of today and call them back at some other time.
You'd have them back here by for tomorrow?
That's correct. Well, whatever time you want them to be back.
I don't see how we could get to the defendant's case before tomorrow at noon.
Okay. Just call him back
because
if
you've got that two something hour.
Right. I don't even know if we'll make it to evidence today, but
I don't think we will. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we will.
So we can let him know tomorrow at noon.
Mr. Deegan, you have any problem with them coming back tomorrow at noon? Not just sitting around here all day?
It doesn't matter at this point, does it? I mean, I've raised everything, and I mean, I'm only here because I have no choice but to defend something that's not me.
Okay.
At this point.
All right. Yeah, they can just be back here tomorrow at noon.
Thank you.
All right. Let's have the jury, please. And I don't know whether we can fill up. I don't know whether we'll have more than enough for the back or not. I think they said 57.
57.
Finally came in.
These three years.
Both sides. Come in quicker if they go both sides. See how they're standing? Linda Stokes? Is Linda Stokes here?
Yes. All right.
George?
We're going to have her do it after.
No. Have her step outside, fill it out. George? She doesn't come back in. Good afternoon. Madam Clerk, please call the roll of the jury.
Please answer as I call your names. Robert Miller.
Here.
Justin Klein.
Here.
Mark McCullough.
Here.
Kathy Morrison.
Here.
Tiffany Akers.
Here.
Becky Inman.
Here.
Darla Wanchek.
Here.
Thomas Talbot. Thomas Talbot. Shelley Leisure.
Here.
Christopher Rhodes. Gerald Riddle.
Here.
Philip Ferguson.
Here.
Tracy Newberry.
Here.
Catherine Smith Miller.
Here.
Kyra York.
Here. Kyra York.
Here. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm here. Christopher Farnsworth.
Here.
Mary Good.
Here.
Joe Ellen Maston.
Here. Was that a here?
I'm here.
Kevin Tanner.
Here.
Jared Wells.
Here.
Mae Gillis.
Here.
Vicki Huffman. David Gregg.
Here.
Kenneth Hutton.
Here.
Jolene Stahl.
Here.
Linda Stokes, you just stepped in. Tyson Shahan.
Here.
William Sanier.
Here.
Larry Sullivan. Rebecca McDougal.
Here.
Harold Manor Jr.
Here.
Amy Moore.
Here.
Bridget Vannoy.
Here.
Glenn Darling. Glenn Darling. Vivian King.
Here.
Cheryl Merrill.
Here.
Jenny Jefferson.
Here.
Raymond Morton Jr.
Here.
Michael Winland.
Here.
Amanda Schnell.
Here.
Randall Affolter.
Here.
Jason Floating.
Here.
Jeffrey McDougall.
Here.
Kara Hall.
Here.
Thomas Chestnut.
Here.
Michael Joy.
Here.
Sasha Canfield. Michael Lucas II.
Here.
Jolynn Nichols.
Here.
Deborah White.
Here.
Tracy Mason.
Here.
Christina Bixman.
Here.
Jared Smith.
Here.
Brooke Taylor.
Here.
Jeannie Dawson.
Here.
Stephen Starkey.
Here.
Wanda Turner.
Here.
Norva Barber.
Here.
Norva Barber.
Here.
Okay, thank you. Amy Burkhart.
Here.
Are there any jurors present whose name I did not? Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the case that is set before the court today is a criminal case, and I'm going to tell you what the charge is here, but before I do that, I want to make sure that each and every one of you understand that simply because the defendant is charged with a crime, that's not any evidence that he committed any offense or did anything wrong. It is simply a method that we use to let someone know if they're charged with something and what that charge is. And so that is through what is called an indictment, and that's just a formal way of getting it before the court. It's the job, duty of the jury to determine whether there is sufficient evidence beyond a reasonable doubt to prove that the defendant committed any crime. So simply the fact that the defendant has been charged is not evidence that he committed any crime. But the offense in this case, it's a one-count indictment, and the defendant is charged with making terroristic threats. And it's alleged to have occurred in September of 2015. Let me introduce to you the people who are seated in front of you and who will be seated in front of you throughout probably the remainder of the trial. At the table closest to me, the first person at that table is Trooper Williams with the West Virginia State Police. Seated next to him is Assistant Prosecuting Attorney Sam Rogers. Mr. Rogers will be representing the state of West Virginia in this case. Seated at the next table is the defendant Thomas Deegan, and he is representing himself. Behind, sort of to the right of Mr. Deegan, is Mr. John Oshawa, who is an attorney who has been appointed by the court as what we refer to as standby counsel. He's there to help Mr. Deegan if Mr. Deegan wants it. As each one of us have the right to represent ourselves, we don't have to accept the services of an attorney. Mr. Deegan has decided to represent himself in this case, and he has every right to do so. And the fact that he's representing himself is not to put him in favor or disfavor with the jury. That's not a factor that you need to consider in listening to the evidence and deciding the issues before you. One of the issues that I want to get to, and I guess I don't know how to do it other than just say, this case has been on WTAP, and I don't know whether it's been in any of the local papers or not. But the first thing I want to ask is, does anybody know anything about this case, seen anything on any of the local news media or gathered any information about this case from any source whatsoever? If you have, please raise your hand. And please remember that the way we are keeping a record in this case is that we are recording everything. And so you need to speak up when we ask you to, like, state your name. You need to speak up so that we can not only all hear, but also so that it is on the recording. Okay? So, okay, did you raise your hand,
yes,
sir? Okay, your name?
William Saunier, S-A-U-N-I-E-R.
Okay. Anybody else in? Okay, you, sir.
Yes, Robert Miller.
Robert Miller?
Yeah, can we say that?
No. Okay, back on this slide. Okay, you, sir? Your name?
Tracy Hibberry.
Okay, anybody else on that first row? Okay, the second row. Anybody on that second row? Okay, then the third row, there's a few hands. Yes, ma'am.
Bridget Benoit.
Okay.
Thomas Chestnut.
Okay.
Norva Barber.
I'm sorry?
Norva Barber.
Gerald Riddle.
Riddle?
Riddle.
Riddle, okay. Anybody else on that side? Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am.
Jolene Saul.
Saul, S-A-W?
Saul, S-T-U-L-L.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
All right, anybody else on that side? Yes, ma'am.
Kathy Morrison.
Okay, on this side. Anybody over here? Yes, ma'am. First row. Yes.
May Gillis.
Gillis?
Yes.
Okay.
Deborah White.
Deborah?
White.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Larry Sullivan.
Okay. Second row, anybody? Yes, sir.
David Gregg.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Michael Lucas.
I need, yes, sir.
Jason Blotting.
I'm sorry, the last name?
Blotting. L-O-D-I-N-G.
Okay, anybody else? Yes.
Harold Manor.
M-A-N-N-O-R?
E-R.
E-R.
Huffman.
All right. Anybody else? Okay. Just to let you know what we're going to do, because we don't want anybody to say what they've heard in front of everybody else, we've got to take each of you that have heard something about the case and talk with you individually. So that's what we need to do at this point. And so we're going to ask you to bear with us as we go through all these individuals and talk with them and see what they've heard and all that. So, please, I mean, you can talk amongst yourselves, but please don't talk about what you've heard about this case or anything about this case. All right? And you guys are going to be going in the room with us? Oh, we haven't sworn the witness.
No, we haven't.
Okay. Yeah, why don't we do that now? One of the things that we need to do is we need to place you all under oath, because we're going to ask you some questions, not only about this, but about other things. So if you would please all stand and raise your right hand.
Do you solemnly affirm that you will make true and perfect answers to such questions as a court or counsel may ask you concerning the matter before it, so help you God?
Amen. Thank you.